Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner, where we have conversations with members of the web development community. I'm your host, Scott Keck Warren, and today we're talking with Jen Fry about her talk at PHP Tech 2026, saying no when you really want to, and sports geography. Dr. Jen Fry is a conflict literary expert, sports geographer, a PhD at Michigan State, go green, tech founder, TEDx Duke speaker, a veteran international presenter. She leads Jen Fry Talks, a conflict literacy firm that sits at the intersection of conflict and culture and turns conflict into a leadership advantage by building cultures of clarity, accountability, and trust. A former NCAA volleyball coach with 15 years in the Pac-12, Big Ten.
15 years of just experience, yeah, of just overall experience.
Oh, okay. Jen has delivered 250 talks and trainings. Her work equips leaders and teams to engage, speak, and repair with precision. So they leverage tension instead of being leveled by it. She's the author of I Said No, How to Have a Backbone and Boundaries Without Being a Jerk. Thank you so much, Jen, for finding some time to talk to us today.
I appreciate you having me on here, friend. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So I have to start out because sometimes people's biographies, there's like some little weird thing in it that like jumps out at me. And I had to say that like I'd never heard of sports geography. So I did Google it. But can you explain to us like what sports geography is and how you're using that kind of as a thing?
Or how that gets used? I mean, I think it's a fascinating thing because if you think about it, if you take a step back, sport is highly geographical. Fandom is highly geographical. If you think about the different types of fans, think about a Dallas Cowboys fan. Think about a Patriots fan, right? Like, think about a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, a Celtics fan. They're all very much have this identity of who they are and how they create their fandom. There's a really interesting 30 for 30 on ESPN that talked about how the Raiders moved. And what many people don't realize is that has a very much a geographical lens to it because the fans, when they were in, I think it was Oakland, were like very black and brown. If I grew up in Arizona in the 90s and you would see like Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube with the fitted Raiders hat, the starter jacket with the Raiders, like having the Raiders gear was, it had the connotation of like low riders, you know, like cholas, like it was just heavily black and brown. And then when they moved it, because people weren't able to access it, it changed the demographic. And so fandom is highly geographical. Sport training is highly geographical. If we think about, for instance, baseball, if you look at how Dominicans and Cubans train versus how the Japanese train or Koreans train, very, very different. And so the way I look at it as a former coach is I wanted to study the experiences of Black women overseas. I wanted to see, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And so I picked Europe as kind of the central location because usually as a pro player, you're going to start some way in Europe and then go to different places because Europe really has all the different levels. So you can have a level where you, Scott, are making $1 million. Or it could be where you are a janitor in the morning and you play at night. Like it has every single level available. And so that's why most people go there and start off and then branch out. And so I wanted to look at it from a geographical lens of like, what does it look like for their experiences? But more importantly, what do up and coming pro athletes who are going to go play overseas, what do they need to know for their experience? Because I think on social media, it's very romanticized, right? Like I'm going to Italy now and for the weekend, I'm going to Spain, but they don't understand the hardships of it. And so I wanted to give them an idea of what to be prepared for as they move forward with that journey.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because like, it was one of these things where I read that in your bio and I was like, okay, I'm going to Google this and then see what it is. And I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense as like a thing that's important. Cause like I'm in Michigan and in Michigan, hockey is a big sport. You know what I mean? Like we, and some other states, it's not so much because like we actually have ice in the winter you can skate on. So it's, you know, it's access is one of the big things for hockey, I know. So 100%. That's all. Yeah. So that's all really fascinating. I think thanks for sharing that. So one of the other thing that you have in your bio is you have a book. It's called I Said No, How to Have a Backbone and Boundaries Without Being a Jerk. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that book is talking about? I mean, obviously it's not being a jerk, but can you give us a little background?
Yeah. You know, one of the things when we talk about conflict is conflict just makes people afraid. Whenever you mention the word, when I go and talk, right away when I mention conflict, people kind of put up this defensive wall because a lot of us don't have good connotations when it comes with conflict. We have really painful memories. And so my goal is to help people learn about conflict as a skill so that they can be better at it. And a part of that is the book, because many people have a really big problem with having boundaries, with self-advocating and saying no. They have a huge problem with it. Many times people will do stuff that will hurt them just because they don't want to say no to someone, right? Instead of me saying no to Scott, who wants me to drive 45 minutes out of my way to go pick something up, I'll do this begrudging yes, and I'll be so resentful and so mad and I'm trying to plan my whole schedule out of 45 minutes there, 15 minutes to pick up, 45 minutes back. So now I have to change 2 hours out of my schedule to pick this thing up because I didn't want to seem like I wasn't nice. I didn't want Scott to be mad at me. So instead of me just saying, hey, Scott, I can't do it. It's completely out of my way. I'm like, okay, yes, I'll do it. I don't want Scott to be mad at me. And now I've changed out my whole day to go pick this thing up, where had I said no, Scott would have been like, okay, I'll just ask someone else. But I have it in my mind that Scott will hate me. It's going to be the worst thing. And so I shape shift myself just to make sure I don't say no. And I wanted to give people the freedom to understand that advocating for yourself and saying no is completely okay. And it's what you should be doing. Because to me, conflict is a mental health imperative. You know, we think about other things related to mental health, but to me, conflict is a central part. If you think about the last time you had conflict with someone, think about how much you ruminated on it, right? How much you thought about it. You're in the shower, you're like, if they say this, I'm going to say this. And if they do this, and you're like sitting there plotting it out and you're talking to people for days, for weeks, and it affects your mental health. What if I see the person? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I want people to understand that that's just not healthy. And even though in the moment saying no can feel really hard, it actually is something that as you do it more, you're going to be better at it.
Yeah. And so when we kind of like set this up by like, I do, and this is a little behind the scene things, but I don't want to say cyber stalk, but I like look you up on the internet, right?
You stalk
and
me.
I stalk you a little bit. And I check out all of your social media and all that. And so I saw the book and I was like, oh, there's a book. You have a book. And I always like it when people are on and they have a book because I can at least read the description and then like have something to talk about with them. But then like I read the description. I was like, oh, no, this is a book for me. Like I read it and I was like, oh, no, I'm the target person to read this book because I have a terrible time saying no to people. Because of that, like, I don't want to be in a conflict. Like, it happens that, like, I was actually reading the book and like, oh, yeah, this has just happened at work where I said, yes, we should do this when I really thought it was a dumb idea. You know what I mean? Like, I should have said, no, this is terrible. We definitely should not do this. So, and it's like very approachable. At the time of this recording, I should tell everybody that I have not finished the book. So I'm still working my way through it. But it is very much for me. And I would imagine for a lot of people who work in tech, because I feel like a lot of tech people are like, oh, yeah, we can do that. And then like, we can't. You know what I mean? And it's just like impossible to do that. So
I hit on that, Scott, for a second? The one thing, as a person who owns tech, I wanted to surround myself with people who would tell me no. Because if you're telling me yes, yes, and then we get to the point where it's obvious it can't happen, well, now I'm upset because we wasted time and money. And, you know, why didn't you tell me that? Well, I just didn't want to tell you no. I thought we could figure it out. When you knew it couldn't be figured out, right? Mm-hmm. You knew based on what was being requested, the time frame, it couldn't happen. And the one thing I talk about when I present is the early no versus, or to me, how do I say that? It's something about like you give the hard no versus the resentful yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people give the resentful yes and know that like you shouldn't be giving that yes, but you're so afraid of the potential fallout of the no that you're like, I'll just figure it out. Not realizing that if you give the hard no early, people are going to be less emotional than if you give the hard no late. If you give me the hard no and I have a few weeks or months to figure out, it's very different than if you give me the yes and a week before I'm expecting something. It's obvious nothing's happening. Well, now I'm even more so mad. And then the emotion that you are afraid of happening actually happened. And you're like, well, this is what I was afraid of. Well, you kind of created this. And so that no at the beginning is really, really difficult. But like, if you get it out early enough, you're not going to have the reaction you're afraid of. It's when you give it out too late that it's like, yeah, I can see why the person's upset.
Yeah. And I think like that's something that we struggle with as a team where I work is like, we will say, oh yeah, we can do this in 2 weeks. And then we're like, maybe we should have said we can do this in 4 weeks. Cause it's, you know, it's just and at the time we were like, we'll be happy. You know, we'll get this done for them. They'll make, you know, we'll make them happy and get this done really quickly and like kill ourselves in order to be able to do it. But it's just like, oh no, we should have said this is physically impossible. There's no way we can do this in a week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's 24 hours in a day and we've, for some reason, thought we had 36.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's always like my problem as well. It's like, oh yeah, I'll do that. So the other reason that you're kind of like on our radar is because you're going to be one of the keynote speakers at PHP Tech this year. Mm-hmm. And you have the nice slot of being just directly after iTalk. So I think that's really like a positive.
Scott, you're going to tee them up for me. I have no doubt. The crowd will be prepared for me after you get done.
Yes, or extremely tired. I mean, that's the way it goes with like the closing keynote. So, but your keynote is Code, Culture, and Conflict Leading When Alignment Breaks Down. Can you give us kind of like a brief overview of what it is you plan on talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just what we talked about is how are we transparent about timelines, innovation, expectations before the anger occurs? Like, how do we have that honesty? But in reality, a part of that is, do supervisors allow people to be honest? Do supervisors allow people to say no? Do supervisors allow you to say, yeah, that's not going to happen? Do they allow that? Or is it like, well, Scott, can we try this? Can we do this? And they keep, in a way, badgering you so much that you're like, fine, we'll just try it. Or is it whenever someone mentions innovation that they're like, no, that's stupid, that would never work, and you completely stop people from wanting to innovate? Because there's a difference with you saying, well, I don't know if at this time, and the other person just has to learn to sell it better. Because I think sometimes people just don't know how to sell their idea well. And there's a difference when people bring something up that you're just like, no, that's a horrible idea. Or you cut them off or you get defensive. And the problem with the supervisors, they don't realize that when they do that, they are completely stopping innovation. They're stopping growth because people are like, well, what's the point of me saying something? I'm just going to get cut off. And so really getting people to think about conflict in a different way, that you actually want to have it. You want to take this idea and people to bat it around. It's just like when you're making a diamond, right? The first thing you see is really, it's dull, it's ugly. You're like, how is this going to be worth millions? But then as it's batted around and cut, it's smooth and it's polished, and then it gets to be this amazing thing. And I think some people don't realize that that's how ideas need to be. You need to bat it around. If you think your first idea is going to be the best, you are dead wrong. Your first idea, 99.999% of the time, is never going to be good. Like it's the beginning. It's the ingredients. And you're not sure how you're going to mix these ingredients up, but you know you have the ingredients. And so getting people to be able to have an understanding, if I'm putting this thing out here, now let's start working on it, right? Now let's start the beating of it to make it this amazing example. Now let's start really smoothing it off. But sometimes people don't think of it in that way. And when they hear the no, they're frustrated versus it being like, let's see how we can take this no, it would take 10% of this, 15% of that, and add up to get to where we want to. And so really think of innovation that way and with the level of conflict so that when you put your idea out, you're not thinking, oh my God, it's going to get beat to death. No one wants it. But you're going to think, okay, now we're going to make it great. Now we're going to take this thing. And so talking about that through the lens of conflict.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like to talk a lot about toxic culture. I think it's like a serious problem within the tech industry. But and a lot of times it's like really easy to see. Right. Like I've had bosses that were like yelly and would like have had punched things and stuff. And that's like very clearly. But like I feel like this is like I don't know, like a microaggression version of a toxic culture where like I've had bosses also where they're like, this is what we're doing. And then you're like, well, this isn't going to work. And they're like, no, this is what we're doing. And they just don't listen to that feedback. And it's just like, well, okay, well, this person doesn't want to hear us say no to them. They're just looking for yes people. So I think that's like another, I was just like, oh, this is another like thing that's, oh, this is, says toxic culture to people. So.
Well, but then also what happens is that you're like, this is not going to work. And they're like, yes, we're doing it. And then guess what happens when it doesn't work? Y'all get yelled at for it not working. Yeah. And you're like, we told you it wasn't going to work. And it's that aspect of they just don't want to listen until everything hits the fan. And now, right now, it's a different story.
Yes, for 100%. And we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, GCP, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let our automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control over your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech and discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team. So the other piece in your abstract that I find really kind of interesting is talking about how there's this anatomy of high stakes conflict, and part of that is the ego. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if ego works the way into it or if ego is the foundation of it, right? Because, I mean, I think especially with people in power, sometimes they don't want to admit when they're wrong. And to me, that's the worst thing you can do as a person in power, because you should be role modeling what it looks like to be wrong and to be able to acknowledge that. And people don't want that. They will find every which way to not admit they were wrong. And so for me, it really is, when you're dealing with conflict of how do I put my ego to the side for the betterment of both of us? What does that look like? And it's hard. Like, I still work with that. If anyone says that they've perfected it, they are liars. It is one of the hardest things to do. And you have to be willing to figure a way of saying, while this sucks, I have to apologize in front of everyone. The apology is worth more than my ego. And that's what I've learned. If I have to apologize, it sucks, but I'd rather be known as someone who apologizes than to be known as someone who will never apologize, and how much it hurts the relationships of the people I work with.
Yeah. And I think like that's another thing that I struggle with, is like putting my ego on the back burner. You know, like especially when it comes to like technical decisions that I've made and having to like explain those to people. And they're like, oh, why did you do this? And I was like, well, we did it. So, So is there anything else that you'd like to direct our, listeners to before I let you go, like your website or your Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could go on Jen Fry Talks, my website, at any time. Follow me on LinkedIn, all social media. The thing I would just direct you to is that I'm really excited about this closing keynote. I'm really honored to do it. And my hope is that the people attending will get one thing that they can work on. I don't want you leaving with 15 things. I want you to say, here's one thing I can work on personally and one thing I want to work on professionally. And I guarantee if you focus on that one thing, you're going to be better at navigating through conflict. And that is my goal for people. It's just, I want you to do one thing better.
That sounds awesome. That's a great like takeaway for every keynote, I think, is just like one thing. Yeah. So I do appreciate your time today, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you speak at PHP Tech this year.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you too. I had to say another heartfelt thank you to Jen for all of her time, as well as for you for listening. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is so you can get the episodes as soon as they're released, and maybe share this post with a coworker so they can learn what's going on at PHP Tech this year. This podcast is available both in an audio version on the PHP Architect website, as well as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck Warren for the PHP Architect Community Corner signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep reading.